Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Okay, we will. All right, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a fantastic show for you tonight, and we're not going to delay in getting right to the story. I want to, as Mother's Day is approaching, in fact, our story tonight and the show topic is centered all around Mother's Day. So I want to wish all the mothers out there a happy early Mother's Day. Without you all, none of us would be possible. So we appreciate what God has done by allowing you all to be the real folks on the planet. And we value you so much. You all are just awesome. Words cannot express how we appreciate the mothers that are out there. So let's go ahead and bring in my co-host. Before I do, I just want to encourage all of you all. We're up and running. We were experiencing some technical difficulty at one point with my weekly newsletter, the publication. But right now we're back on course. Very special thanks to a young man who's come in and he did so well. I offered him an opportunity to come on board on part of the team. So, you know, we never know what the future holds, but I can tell you this, I know who holds the future. And I just want to encourage all of you all that as we're facing these challenging times, fear not. Let's use common sense to the best of our abilities, maintain prayerfulness, positive outlook on life, and look at what we can gain from this experience by being, you know, with the stay-at-home orders or safer at home. Just look at what we can gain from this, you know, bonding and so forth and so on. So go. You can also check out my website, drjwalker.com, and also drjessewalker.com. So you can check those out. And please, I'm asking you, go on drjessewalker.com, register to become a weekly subscriber, and it's only $9.95 for the month. And if you're a business owner, you get to advertise starting at $25 a month. All right, so check us out. Let me go ahead and bring in my co-host all the way from South Florida, Ms. Camilla Cross, who's been with me now for some time, and I do appreciate Ms. Cross and all that you do. Ms. Cross, happy early Mother's Time, unlike Valentine's. Mother's Day to you. Happy early Mother's Day to you.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Walker. Thank you so much. How are you today?
I am wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing well. You know, it's beautiful here in South Florida. The sun's still shining. So we are blessed.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Ms. Cross, why don't you go ahead and give your commercial. And just before you, yeah, go ahead. Give your commercial, and then I want to bring in some other information.
Okay, wonderful. So my name is Camilla Cross. I am a certified anger management specialist. I'm a master's level social worker. I am offering services for anger management. I'm also more or less tapping into woman empowerment. I'm working on speaking events. So, you know, this I think when we come to a point, like especially with this pandemic, you kind of have to look at where you are and where God wants you to be. So it's been it's a journey. You know, I know that we're all especially in the beginning, very fearful of the unknown, still a bit fearful of the unknown. But I think, like Dr. Walker was saying, it's definitely, you know, the time to kind of just do some self-reflecting and look at, you know, what is this really about? You know, so let me, I just had, you know, I chimed in. My website, though, guys, check me out. I'm at www.yourworthispriceless.com. My telephone number is 954-825-8500. I'm actually offering free 20-minute sessions, intake sessions, just to kind of, you know, help you get through what's going on. I know we're under a lot of stress during this pandemic. So, you know, I'm available via text or through my website.
All right, excellent. And just an update to all of our listeners out there. Ms. Cross is going to be, you'll be able to tune in within the next few days. I'm pretty sure before the next show, you'll be able to go to drjessewalker.com and you'll be able to pull up when in the About section. You'll be able to see a photo of Ms. Cross, not just my face, but you'll be able to see Ms. Cross, and then we'll give some information about her as well. So congratulations, Ms. Cross, on that. You're well-deserving of that.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Walker. It's been a blessing.
Oh,
this show is such an amazing opportunity, and every day I'm on it, you know, every show I'm on the edge of my seat, just like the listeners. So the storylines only get better and better, you know.
Right, and I'm on the edge of my seat, absolutely, too. Because the interesting thing is, and Ms. Cross, share with me if you would, with our audience, that is, our shows are not rehearsed. We don't get together and rehearse. And I mean, tell them none of this is pre-planned.
It's true, guys. It's funny because I know when we initially started, I'm like, okay, super nervous. What is the topic going to be about? So I remember we even discussed, you know, do you want to get the topics ahead of time? And I said, you know what? No, let me be like the listeners and kind of, you know,
right,
free, kind of go straight from, because I want it genuine. I really want it genuine from you, for you guys, straight from the heart, so that we can have a real life dialect in terms of how we actually feel, in terms of how you guys actually feel, and just allow for us to, you know, have a conversation that's going to be a blessing to each other.
Right, absolutely. And having said that, I mean, it is true. And I remember that conversation when we had that. And as a matter of fact, when I'm in the pulpit to preach, I stopped actually preparing sermons in advance, because it's like if I would start to prepare a sermon at the beginning of the week, by Friday evening, and I usually preach on our Sabbath at Saturdays, by Friday evening, whatever I've prepared, it's like God comes into the Spirit comes into me so overwhelmingly, until it's like, that's not what I want you to preach on. And I have to do, I've spent all those hours preparing a sermon, and then God gives me what he wants me to deliver for the sermon for that weekend. And so it's like, so I just at one point stopped. I said, okay, if this is the way God's going to do it, I'm not going to do all of that wasting of time preparing, because you know how they say that our plans are God's laughter or jokes. When he's called us to his purpose, he really, you know, he's called us to his purpose. And even if we have something else in mind, if we are chosen, then God's going to redirect us to the direction that he wants us to go in. So, I mean, and it comes out very well. And the same thing about the show. I just kind of, if someone sends me something, it might be weeks or months before we get to that. But, if you know, a lot of these shows are inspired, of course, by true stories. And they often come from the Spirit of God that he's put in somebody else's heart to present to me, or it comes directly to me. So, all right, tonight we're talking about the value of a mother's love. And we're going to go to the story in about 4 minutes. Ms. Claus, there's just no way possible you can put a value on a mother's love. And those of you all that are listening, you can press 1 at any time so that you can be in the queue, so that we don't miss out on you tonight. And we'll come to you at some point. Can you really put a value on a mother's love?
You know, I don't think so. I think that God lined it up to where those 9 months of carrying that child, there's so much that goes on. I think that that bond that's created is usually unbreakable. And I say usually because, you know, we all know there's exceptions to the rules, but I'm thinking overall it was meant to be set up that way because this is your child, you know. So if you're not that child's advocate, who's going to be that child's advocate, you know? So I think, like, you really can't put a true value to it because overall, I'm going to say overall, so, of course, like we said, there's probably exceptions to the rules, but overall, a mother's love is so unconditional.
Oh, absolutely, it is. And we're going to get to the story in about 1 minute from now. Ms. Cross, I know that you've mentioned that you have kids, and let me tell you, does it seem like sometimes they seem unappreciative?
Oh, yes. I can answer that. I answered that very fast. I think it's this generation, and I think every parent or most parents, again, I know I'm speaking very generally, but, you know, overall, okay, I think that parents, their goal is to be, for their kids to be a little better than they were, and sometimes to have a little bit more than they had. So I think especially because my kids are teenagers, like now I try to give them what they need. I'm able to give them what they want. So I do kind of sometimes overindulge in the things they're supposed to have. And I'm starting to see it. I'm going to be upfront. I'm going to be candid with you guys. I'm starting to see a little bit of unappreciativeness. But every now and again, I try to wheel them in and talk to them about being appreciative and just the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, I tell my line to them is, listen, God gave you to me on a loan. You belong to Him. Like, from day one, I've been telling them this. Like, you guys, it's my job to lead you, you know, lead you the right way. But at the end of the day, you have to know where you're, you know, that you belong to Him and that you have to serve Him and, you know, do the right thing. That's all I ask of them.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, we're going to get right to the story this evening. And tonight's characters are Quinella. And then she has her daughter, Sally, and her son, Roosevelt. Now, Quinella has been, actually, before I do that, Ms. Cross, I got to bring in this thought just for a second before I go and give tonight's story out, because we're going Facebook Live also. They just reminded me that we're supposed to be going Facebook Live. And so I want to be able to ask this question now. I mean, from a woman's perspective, how does it make you feel when your kids are don't show appreciative?
Well, it does bother you because, you know, a lot of times as parents, you do your best. You know, it doesn't come with a handbook. You know, a lot of this job is a learn as you go job, you know. So sometimes
right.
when you think you're kind of giving them, you know, kind of going above and beyond for them, and the appreciation is like, you know, thanks. And then the next day they do something that's totally outside of what you would have expected. It's a little disappointing. I think that for me it's not even so much sadness, it's disappointment. But I like to verbalize to my kids, like, listen, I'm disappointed. You know, I'm disappointed. This is what my expectations for you are. And that's a big thing that I think that as parents we forget to do, and that's to tell them what we expect of them, because we assume that they should know, and in a sense they don't. So in a sense it's like, you know, we have to tell them and set expectations for them.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. All right, we're now also Facebook Live, you all. They did remind us that we're going to be Facebook Live, so we wanted you all to know that as well. All right, so tonight's characters are Quinella, her children, Sally, the daughter, and, of course, Roosevelt, the son. Quinella's been a single mom for the past 4 years, since she and their father divorced. Now, her children, Roosevelt and Sally, are both teenagers in high school. Quinella receives absolutely very little financial or other support from the children's father. Now, she's having the most difficult time with the children's rudeness, disrespectfulness, defiance, and their laziness. She can't understand why her children, whom she loves and does her best at keeping the family together. She can't understand why they're acting this way. Roosevelt and Sally both have a lack of appreciation in the value of a mother's love. Now, here are some of the issues Roosevelt and Sally faced that their mother did not hesitate in making sacrifices to be there for her children. Number one, I mean, these are things that the kids went through that the mother didn't hesitate to be there for her children. Number one, Cannella became gravely ill after giving birth to her oldest son, Roosevelt. And he knows her story. You know how there are times when a mother comes close to death during childbirth, and Roosevelt knows that. Number two, when schools threatened to suspend either Roosevelt or Sally on several occasions for negative behaviors, Cannella always left her job to make an appeal to the schools. She always went there to fight for her children. Number three, when Roosevelt was hit by a car facing death, yes, Cannella lived at the hospital for 6 weeks only to go to work, home to change clothes, check in on Sally, who was being kept by Cannella's mother, then back to the hospital to be with Roosevelt. Cannella spent tiring nights trying her best to help Roosevelt and Sally with their challenging homework. Not only that, Cannella was terminated from three of her jobs. She was terminated from three of her jobs simply because she would have to leave a bit early to pick up her children from school because she simply could not afford after-school care. Finally, when either kid had a cold, they had the flu, doctor's appointment, a dentist appointment, eye examination, even shelter, a place to live. When there was parent conferences, school supplies, clothing, shoes, transportation needs, when the kids needed extra money, whenever they had problems, and the list goes on, and it never ends. Cannella, their mother, has always been there for them. Now, Roosevelt and Sally are both aware of the constant struggles that their mother has to face. But in their eyes, that's just what a mother is supposed to do. So it's almost like a sense of entitlement. They have no appreciation for the value of a mother's love. The breaking news. Listen to this now. Cannella has been recently hospitalized in fear of having a virus. It's been 4 days and the children cannot even visit her. As a result, it has now dawned on them. They appear helpless and hopeless without their mother being there to show her unconditional love in the face of all their obstacles. Ms. Cross, I start out tonight with this question. Is the behavior that Roosevelt and Sally are showing, is this typical, in your opinion, of all teenagers?
No, I don't think so. I don't think all teenagers are like that. I think that teenagers, they do have their moments where they have, they have their moments where, especially, I just think this generation's different, but their moments of entitlement. But then I know that my kids have moments with them where they are more sensitive and, you know, we are able to have moments. So I think it's not a continuous thing. It's not for every child doesn't behave this way, you know. It sounds like in this family, there is definitely some boundaries that haven't really fully been established in terms of the child's understanding of his or her role, his or her responsibility, you know, having to go to the school all the time to advocate. Because definitely as a parent, you're going to advocate for your child, but sometimes you have to allow them to go through the consequences to understand that they're wrong and to actually change, you know. So I don't think that it's always the best idea for a parent to always take the side of a child. If your child is wrong, your child's wrong. You know, I don't believe
right.
that the child, you know, the school officials are always right because, unfortunately, you know, people are human, you know. So human nature kicks mm-hmm. in over policy sometimes. I always say that. But at the end of the day, you know, you still have to sit back and really look at what you are doing to contribute to your child being the way that they are. because it does. And I remember Miss Cross and I know we had a show and they were talking about, you know, parenting starts at home, and it's very true. You know, it's very true. If you look at your kids, the good, the bad, and the ugly, sometimes you see yourself, you know, and you're like, oh, shucks. You know, it's time to really, you know, to take ownership of the fact that some, a lot of times your child, your kids are the way they are because you've allowed it or because they've seen you be that way. And it's
right.
a hard reality to face, but, you know, I'm not, you know, I'll raise my hand. I haven't always been the perfect parent. Have we made mistakes? You know, you have to be honest with yourself when it comes to your kids, you know? So that's
right.
what I've learned. I think that's real life parenting.
Right, absolutely. In addition to that, you know, and I appreciate your comments and thoughts on that, even your honesty, and I don't think any of us have been, who are parents, I don't think any of us have been those perfect parents. I think we can get it wrong as well. You know, sometimes I've discovered that sometimes the kids just want us to listen to them and not always think that we have an answer for their lives. You know, but in this case tonight with Roosevelt and Sally, I mean, they're teenagers and, you know, and I heard what you said earlier that this is not typical of all teenagers, but why do you think now all of a sudden, and I'm going to give my contribution as well, and maybe I'll start out with it. The question is, why do you think all of a sudden now that Quinella is facing a virus where her children can't even see her and it's been 4 days, now they appear hopeless and helpless? And my thought is, because the mother's not there, they took her love for granted, her mm-hmm. unconditional love. And I think that that's what a lot of kids do. They take that mother's love for granted, her unconditional love, because like the story tells us earlier, Roosevelt and Sally felt that that's what a mother's supposed to do. You're not doing anything that other than what you're supposed to do. So it almost gives these children a sense of entitlement that, you know, you're supposed to do this here, Mom. That's why you're not doing anything special. That's your job. Miss Cross, if your kids, one of your kids were to dare say that to you, well, Mom, I don't see you doing anything special. You're the mom. You're supposed to do that. You know.
You know the funny thing is, they haven't said it like that.
Okay.
But you know, I think kids have their expectations of their parents as well, and I do believe that. You know, no offense to the dads, but kids do hold their mom to a standard, to where if you're a good mom, they are going to expect the things that you do to kind of be the norm. And I remember saying something to my kids, and it's funny, and they were like, you're the mom.
Right.
And I had to, I was like, seriously? But I kind of, even though I kind of laughed about it, I actually, believe it or not, I actually took a little, I was proud that they felt that they could rely on me. And they felt that, you know, in a sense, I'm there for them, you know. And I will share. I have my daughter, and I also, because I'm going to disclose, I don't mind disclosing with you guys, I actually have my nephew because my sister passed away. So he's, you know, I've raised him, so he's my son, right? But the fact that I'm able to have that bond with them to where they know that if God forbid, if something happens, they can pick up and call me and I'm there, that still gives me a feeling of joy to know I can be that. So, you know, it's kind of, with mothers, it's kind of funny because, yeah, they do kind of take advantage of your love, but then at the same time, you want to feel like they know that that love is there.
Oh, okay. Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to go to phone lines one moment. You know, this show goes so fast that we're about 36, 33 minutes actually away from closing tonight's show, and we just started. So let's go to the phone lines. If you want to speak to the issue, press 1 on your dial. Let's go to Alabama, 205-908. Welcome, you're live. Who do we have with us?
This is Jack.
Welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us, Jack. Jack, what are your thoughts? What's wrong with these kids today?
they got mental problems.
I agree with
both of you on what you were saying and all, and especially the fact that a lot of times they tend to take us for granted. You know, they take us for granted at an early age because we do so much now. I kind of agree with that now somewhat, that parents, and we're not just the mother but the father as well, we're supposed to do certain things and all, and the kids expect that. But they're still not supposed to take us for granted. I remember one time my mother told my dad, you know, he would work every day and kids would be home, and he said, well, I got to go out here and work every day, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. She said, well, you're not doing any more. Now, this was back in the day. This was back like in the 60s. She said, well, you're not doing any more than what you're supposed to do. So it's the same way with us. You know, when we provide for our children, you know, we put them in a nice home and put them in a nice school or whatever, you know, make sure they go into church, make sure we teach them morals and values and all that. We're not doing any more than what we're supposed to do. But I don't think the kids are supposed to take us for granted. And a lot of times they do take us for granted and all. Like you're seeing this lady in the hospital now with the coronavirus, and the kids, you know, now are wishing that they could see her because they don't know whether she's on her last leg or whatever. But when you have them, learn to appreciate them. Let them know how much you love them. Now, can you imagine a child not giving his mother a Mother's Day card or a Father's Day card? And that happens a lot, where children don't give their mother or their father, you know, their due respect. And on the day that's set aside for them, it's only like 1 or 2 days set aside for those parents during the year. That's Mother or Father's Day or their birthday. And that's the only time that you really have to really recognize them, show you from how much you love them. Now, that's not the only day, but that's, you know, by law they say that that's Mother's Day or that's Father's Day, and you have to recognize your parents at that day. But you have some children, they never give their parents any recognition whatsoever. So I think that's a sad thing. I think that's a sad thing.
Absolutely. And then for them, though, every day is Children's Day for them. When,
good point.
You know,
good point.
Right.
Good
because
point.
They are always in expectancy mode. You know, like, okay, what is mama going to bring me today? What is that? You know, what am I? Can I get this here? Can I have that? You know, and you know, it's unfortunate. You know, they, a lot of the kids, and of course, there's always the exception. But it seems that a number of kids, they won't even just call and, hey, mom, I just called, say I love you. Dad, I just was thinking about you, and I just called, say I love you. And, I mean, that needs to be done regularly. We have to fill up our cars, you know, regularly as we drive them a lot, and we have to eat, you know. So, you know, encouraging words are always nice coming from the kids.
Can I say something else?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. No, I just want to, your co-host, I want to give hats off to her because she raised a nephew after her sister had passed away. I did the same thing for my my granddaughter. I raised her from 4 years old, you know, when she lost her mother. So, you know, I mean, that's a big responsibility, but you look at it as if the child is your child, your biological child. So my hats off to you for that, for, you know, you're saying that.
Thank you, Dad.
Excellent, excellent. My hats off to both of you all for that is quite noble on both parts. We're going to take some of the comments that have come into the studio. Jack, we'll give you the first comment that's come in. The value of a mother's love. This female writes in, she says, a mother's love to me is the beginning. It's the beginning in understanding the love that God has for all of us. It's the beginning in understanding the love that God has for all of us. I think that's a powerful comment. Jack, your thoughts on that?
I definitely agree. It's the same type of love that a mother would have for her children. I mean, that's powerful. I mean, not much I can say behind that because I kind of agree because God has a love that's unconditional. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And I think a mother's love is unconditional as well. She basically does the same thing. She doesn't care about, you know, all the baggage that comes with her child or her children and all. She's going to love them unconditionally. And so I think that's very unique.
I agree with you, Jack. I mean, you can't really, I don't believe that you can really put a value on a mother's love. And Ms. Cross said earlier, and I agree,
right.
You know, it's unconditional. It's unconditional. Ms. Cross, you know, I agree with that. Any comments from you, Ms. Cross, on, you know, it's the understanding. It's kind of the beginning of understanding the love that God has for us. And I mean, you know, I think Jack summed it up.
I agree. I think it's definitely, God has a way of doing things that where lines up perfectly. And I think that relationship that is formed between a mother and a child, a father and a child, you know, that's something that, you know, it's a process. And I think, though, I always look at the 9-month process, right, or really probably 10-month process. And it's just that, you know, just the uniqueness of being a parent and being able to bond with a child even before you see that child. Like, that's very intentional the way God did that. So
absolutely.
I totally
Absolutely. I don't know if any of you all remember, and Jack, if you do, if you don't mind speaking to it. I remember the song by Shirley Caesar. I remember this song oh so well. My mother would sometimes play it when I thought I was owed something for doing a chore around the house. And the song went, the 9 months, I can't remember the name of it, but it was the 9 months I carried
No child. No charge, no charge.
No charge. That's the name of it. Shirley Caesar. Thank you. We'll speak to that, Jack, for it. I mean, that was that song, after I heard my mother play that, it made me cry.
Yeah. And I think about, you know, my mom, too, and how much she did for us, and so many things that we expected. I mean, even with your topic of your thing tonight, I was thinking about my mother and all that she used to do for us and how much we used to take it for granted a lot, you know. Even though we loved her, we still took it for granted. But that No Charge song, it was that the child would, when he did something, you know, like when he raked the yard, he wrote down how much his mother's going to owe him. And then if he, when he did some things and washed the dishes or
take out the trash,
he wrote down everything. So he went in and he gave the list to his mother, and so it was, I think it was 975 or whatever it came up, something.
Whatever it was,
975, and he listed all the different things that he had done. Oh, for praying with little brother. I remember that coming to me now. For playing with little brother, you know, for washing the dishes, taking out the trash, mowing the lawn, 975 and all. And so the mother said, just like Ms. Cross said, she said, for 9 months I carried you, there's no charge. And for wiping your nose, or doing something with the floor and all of that, and all those different things she did for him. She says, no charge, son. And then he wrote on the back of it, paid in full. You know, because he had tears in his eyes, so he said, paid in full. So, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ms. Cross, are you familiar with that song?
You know, my mom used to sing it.
I'm sure she's familiar with that, right?
I've heard it, and I remember, you know, my mom, when we would have our little moments, she would just start singing. I said, okay, I get it.
That is so neat.
You know.
That's so neat.
I think that for Mother's Day, leading up to Mother's Day, every month, that should be the national Mother's Day song for all children. I just think that it will, if they sit there and they listen to the lyrics and digest those lyrics, I think that children, it could change their behaviors. And then once in a while, because we all need repetition and redundancy sometimes, I think that if their mother would have put that song on just as a reminder when they're being rude, disrespectful, and defiant, like Roosevelt and Sally, I think when she puts that on, those kids would be should shut them up right there and realize the true value of a mother's love.
But listen to this, Doc. I remember when I called myself, you know, you get a little bit beside myself one time to my mom. But this only happened once. We were in the kitchen. And my mother said something to me, and I talked back to her, and she's popped me right in my mouth. She popped me right in my mouth right there in the kitchen and all. And I said, okay, Ma, I won't do it again. She never had to chastise me from that day forward. I mean, she had never chastised me before. And she said this, and so did my dad. Now, I never got a whipping from them. Now, that sounds unusual, but I never got a whipping.
That is unusual.
I never got a whipping. And but she popped me in. I tell you one thing though, I never talked back to her again. I said something smart out of my mouth, and she popped me right in my mouth.
Wow.
She didn't have to worry about me anymore. That was just that one and only time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You were probably your mother's best child if you never got
I don't know about all that.
You were probably your mother's best child. Because
mm-hmm.
I got a whooping. We're going to actually stand by. Let's go to phone lines once again. We got to take some more of the comments. We're 25 minutes away from closing. Let's go to 305-769. Who do we have and welcome? 305-769. Okay, perhaps they have us on mute. They'll come in at some point.
No, this is Ms. Augustine.
Okay, Ms. Augustine, we got some noise in the background coming from you, like music.
I'm playing No Charge.
Oh, you're playing the song. Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
That's it.
She added
we
it
added
all
it all
up.
The cost
right.
of my love is no. Miss Augustine, thank you for that. Thank.
Yeah,
oh my
nice.
Goodness, that song brings chills to me right now.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Cross, let me bring you in. Miss Augustine, we're gonna actually stand by for a second. Miss Cross, let me ask you. Knowing that now Quinella is in the hospital and her children, they're not certain, knowing that how the virus is, do you think that this is, it may be weighing on them at this point, like Jack said, that they don't know if they'll see their mother ever again or not?
Mm-hmm.
Why did
of
it take
course.
This?
I think just naturally, you know, we assume that, we never want to think about death, something death, because it's so final. So a lot of times when you have someone, especially someone that's so loving and giving, you just, it becomes like something that you become so used to, something that you so, you know, that's just, you tend to unfortunately, unconsciously, I'll say, underappreciate what people do, because that's just, it becomes an expectation. So now when they're sitting back and they're thinking like, wow, I may lose my mother, now you're reflecting on all the things that you didn't truly show your appreciation for. Not that they didn't appreciate it, because, of course, they appreciated it to an extent, but I think it's just letting someone know how much you appreciate them. So,
okay.
Fingers crossed, God's will, she'll make it out, and that hopefully should create a whole different relationship between them.
Right. I think that sometimes it's in adversity that change comes, even for the better. Miss Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Miss Augustine, let me bring you in. Did you have a comment? And thank you for that song. It brings back tremendous memories, I'm sure, for all of us. Miss Augustine, did you have a comment?
Can you hear me?
We can now, yeah.
Oh, okay. My mother had a lot of mental illness, and I remember at 3.5 years old watching her being taken and put in an institute. I was blessed to take care of my mother until she died at 84 years old.
Mm.
And people didn't know when they saw us together that she was my eyes. They saw us walking, going places, doing things. She walked with a walker. She was my eyes. One day we went to the doctor's office, and I told her I had to go to the bathroom, and she got up with her walker and carried me to the bathroom. And the nurse said, how come she walking you to the bathroom? You're supposed to be walking her. You always walk her. I said, no, she's guiding me. My mother was my eyes. And when she died, I had a hard time accepting it. And the nurse asked me, did you know that she was going to leave you one day? I didn't think she would leave me.
Right.
She was my
eyes. That's powerful. That's powerful. We're going to actually stand by Ms. Augustine. If you just joined us, tonight's topic is the value of a mother's love. And, of course, you can't really put a value on a mother's unconditional love. Our story is about Quinella and her two children. These are rude. You know, sometimes you just got to call children out when they are like that. They're rude, disrespectful. I know Ms. Cross said that they probably appreciate their mom to some degree, and I'm sure they would, because if somebody threatened to talk about their mom, they want to fight. But then at the same time, I don't get it how they rude and disrespectful to the mom. They're defiant and they're lazy. you know, it's a boy and a girl, Roosevelt and Sally. And now here are some of the things that that these children have taken for granted, if in my opinion. Cornella, the mother, became gravely ill after giving birth to her oldest son, Roosevelt. And Roosevelt knows her story because, you know, it's said that a woman can come close to death by giving birth to a child. Number two, when the school threatened to suspend either Roosevelt or Sally for their bad behaviors. And, you know, I know they tell us don't call the children bad, but if the shoe fits. But the fact of the matter is we want to talk about the behavior. Well, the behavior is coming from the child. So how is it that Jack, help me with this one for a second. And I'm interrupting my own story. But help me with this here. If the behavior is coming from the child, then and I know it's a behavior, and Ms. Cross, I know you we are trained to think it's a behavior, but if it's coming from the child, isn't the child bad because he's doing the behavior?
Well, I have to agree with that. I guess they don't want you to – I guess you stigmatize them when you're calling them bad. You know, he has he has some internal problems or whatever word you want to use. I guess they don't want you to use the word bad anymore. Like in the school system, they change words like every year. You know, words that
right, exactly.
Back in the day, they change them every year. I guess they don't want to – they have some exceptional – exceptionalities, different exceptionalities and all. That's what they're calling them now. You know, he's not
right.
ADD, he's this now, he's that another. But if a child shows those type of behavior, there's a problem there, and it needs to be fixed. And
right.
you have to identify, and you have to let him know exactly what he's doing is wrong. Because Billy
right.
Bob is going to grow up, Billy Bob is going to grow up eventually and think what he's doing is right. And then he's going to think everybody owes him something when he become of age and all. And nobody owes him a thing. He has to get it for himself. Now, you hear some parents say, well, I got mine. You got to get yours. And they're
right.
absolutely right. Because these kids think that everything is given to them on a silver platter. And they think, and I think we've disserviced them a bit when we've given them everything on a platter. That's why they don't respect us the way that they should. And that's why they take us for granted. Because everything has been given to them on a silver platter. Let them work for it. Let them earn it. Give them choices. Make sure they do their responsibilities around the house. Make sure they do their homework. So they won't grow up with the mere fact thinking that everybody owes them something. And I think what we've done wrong as parents a lot, we said, well, I want the best for my child. Of course you want the best for your child, but you don't want them to come up lazy and like everybody owes them something and all. Let them work for it.
Right.
Let them earn it.
Right, right. And then, I mean, I can remember, you know, these behaviors in children, and I agree with you, Jack, this doesn't go away overnight. And
mm-hmm.
I've known of kids when they're toddlers, and they want to hit grown-ups, you know, hit them.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you try to
true.
Tell parents, oh, stop, stop. And the parents are like, oh, they're just a baby. They don't know any better there. You know,
mm-hmm.
that isn't that so cute? And I'm thinking to myself that I've seen this, and I say, oh, no, your child's not going to hit me. You know,
mm-mm.
I'm just going to, you find that cute, but that's not cute because this very child, if you don't correct that behavior now, they'll grow
that's right.
up and this is what they'll do. So the
mm-hmm.
child is, you know, we're born in sin, shaped into iniquity. So it's like
right.
we're born to probably do that, which is bad, and we have to be modified, altered, or shaped into doing the right thing. So if you don't
mm-hmm.
train, if you don't train, exercise that training that's necessary to modify these behaviors, then the child's not going to change. I mean, Jack, would you have somebody hitting you, a one-year-old or a two-year-old, and this could be a relative, and the mother thinks, oh, that's just so cute. He's so cute.
No, I wouldn't. It's just like, you know, it's just like, no, I'm going off the limb a little bit here now, but it's just like I'm walking down the street. Now, I got my cane in my hand, and this lady right across the street from me, she has a dog. So she couldn't
right.
control the dog. The dog is coming at me, and I took my stick out and I started hitting the street because I was going to pop him beside his head if he came any closer and all. And she said, don't hit my dog. Well,
hit her dog.
She's looking at the dog as if he's a human being. Like, it doesn't matter, but he's coming to attack me. What do you think I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to defend myself. I thought that was crazy. I thought she had lost her mind or whatever.
She has lost her mind, Jack. She has lost her mind. She values her dog's life above yours. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
I'm probably being bad.
No, but I agree with you and all. But when it comes to a child at that young tender age and all, and they're trying to hit, you know, you stop them in the track and you let the mother know or the father know, what your child is doing is wrong. He's going to grow up with the same thought in mind that he can get away with whatever he wants to get away with. He can hit whoever he wants and all. So if you don't stop him now, he's going to embarrass you later on down the line. So that's what I would tell him.
He's going to embarrass you later on down the line. Right, we're going to go to North Carolina in just a second. We're going to go to 919-272. But, again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about Camilla and her children with bad. let me speak as if it's a timeout because I got Ms. Kloss on the line. She's a mental health person. And so let me – Ms. Kloss, I want to say it properly before she takes off the gloves. let me put these children with bad behaviors in time out. So if you're just joining us, you know, here the mother is now in the hospital with the virus, probably done burnt herself out from these children with these behaviors. You know, the woman spends tiring nights trying her best to help these kids with their challenging homework. She was terminated from 3 jobs because she couldn't afford aftercare because she got to go and pick up her children, worrying about her children. You know, when either kid had the flu, the cold, doctor appointments, dentist appointments, eye exams, a place, shelter for them, parent conferences, school supplies, clothing, they needed shoes, transportation needs, they needed extra money, they got all kind of problems at school. And the list goes on and on, and it never ends. The mother, Quinella, was always there. So we're talking tonight about the value of a mother's love. Let's go to North Carolina and just get your thoughts. Who do we have on the air with us, and welcome?
This is Christy, everybody.
Hey,
and
Christy,
hi, everybody.
Thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Christy, what are your thoughts?
Are these children bad or what?
Well, first I'm going to say this because I'm a mother, and I've been a mother to many kids, not that I've had all these biological kids, but I've been a mother to a number of kids, and I praise God that he allowed me to be able to do that. But there is no love like a mother's love. Okay?
Amen.
I know that, and I don't mean to exclude you all men, Jack, and you also, Mr. Walker, but there is no love like a mother's love. Yes, father's love is deep, too, and I'm not saying that father's love is not deep, but we the ones bore them for 9 months, and it's just no love like a mother's love. But then we do have some parents, which I'm sure Ms. Cross and whoever else is on the line could vouch for. Every mother that has a child is
not a mother.
That's right.
I want to tell y'all these two scenarios that I heard about on the news here, and I'm going to be kind of brief. You all tell me your opinion. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday on the news, a 5-year-old boy stole his mom and dad car, and I think it was an SUV. He was driving the car on the highway. They say he got upset because they did not buy him a Lamborghini.
Oh,
yeah.
What can he do at that age?
He was 5 years old, and he was wilding in the road, and the police stopped him, and he says he got upset because his parents did not buy him a Lamborghini. I guess, is that a toy or something?
Yeah.
That's a car.
No, that's a sports car. It's a very expensive sports car. Wow.
Did you all hear me? They say this boy was 5 years old driving. So the police officer say, well, how did you even reach the steering wheel?
I think he had a filler or something.
Wow.
How did he reach the steering wheel?
But wouldn't you all say that was an issue?
The parent. They've given him so much probably. The parent.
Thank
the blame
you.
Is the parent.
Thank
the
you.
The parent. Christy, what's the other scenario you're going to give us?
Okay, the other scenario, briefly. Okay, another thing on the news, we are all supposed to wear masks, okay? That's what they're recommending. In the state of Michigan, I believe it was Michigan, this man of 8 children, a security guard, doing his job at a Family Dollar, doing his job, this family came in. I think it was the daughter, a younger daughter, some family member did not wear their mask. It was the mother, the husband, and the son, and I think a daughter. I don't know who wasn't wearing a mask, but the security officer approached them and said, you need to wear your mask.
Right.
They said the mother, first of all, spit on the security guard.
Oh, my goodness.
Of eight, the father and the son, which the son looked to be about, from news, looked to be between maybe 13 and 15 years old. They went back home, got a gun. The son came back and shot the man in the head and killed him.
That's got to be a fairy tale.
You know what?
Yeah.
I thought it was a fairy tale. And then they said it the next day, and I'm like, is this for real? The father went with the son to get a gun, and the son came back and shot the man in the head, a father of eight, and killed him. And they got the mother, and the father and the son are still missing. But it's just a matter of time before they catch them.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole family will be going to jail.
Well, it is really
Michigan, where they say it is mandatory that you wear a mask, a face mask.
Wow. I mean, we're hearing all sorts of stories. Christy, thank you for sharing that. And that is is really sad. This man lost his life by doing his job. And
doing
the mothers are holding – and these kids are that way and because the parents are upholding them in their wrongness.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ms. Fox, what can be said about that? I mean, so now here again. I mean, does that boy need time out or he might – I don't know what Michigan laws are, but it's a felony to spit on somebody. That's a felony.
It sure is.
Wait a minute.
You cannot spit on someone. That's a felony.
The mother spit on the man.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Gracious.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, Ms. Fox, let's bring you in. Is this – Of course, this is obviously a dysfunctional family, but did they get enough time out, Ms. Paul?
I'm telling you.
You know, it's not funny because when we look at a lot of these kids, and like, there's always exceptions to the rules, but in general or for the most part, when we look at the kids who behave like this, it's not so far. It's not.
That's
right.
Look at the apple didn't fall too far. How extreme is that for? Because the man told them to put on a mask, they go, the mom spits on him, the dad, they get in a confrontation, the son comes back and kills him. That is just crazy. Like, what is going on in that household?
Thank
you. You know, where any of this is appropriate. And now this security guard, just for doing his job,
dead.
I was here, that's disgusting. Like, I know the guys, you know, I'm a therapist, and I was trained one way, but my human nature kicks in. I can't make sense out of nonsense sometimes.
Yeah.
And I
I
laugh and I say, listen, I go by textbook, yes, but, you know, I got to go by what God, you know, my foundation. So every now and again, my clients, I'm like, Lord, I hope that this isn't inappropriate. I can't go 100% by the textbook because I feel like at the end of the day, like, reality doesn't look like what the textbook says sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just a sad situation, very sad situation.
And then that five-year-old boy, he driving a car because he got upset with his parents, so they didn't give him a Lamborghini.
Yeah. This is some crazy behavior. We got about five more minutes, Miss Augustine. I want to bring you in and ask you to take this comment. Chris, we're going to ask you to stand by. I mean, that's hard to move on from hearing those stories like that. It really is. It's hard to move on after hearing
there's
those stories.
Chris,
thank you for sharing that.
There's a bigger story in Miami. Where there's a son who killed his brother, 17-year-old boy, just this morning, killed his 14-year-old brother and stabbed his father in the neck. And the father is in Jackson Trauma Hospital in critical condition, and they can't find a 17-year-old boy.
What did he do it for?
What's the motive?
They don't know.
What's the motive?
They don't know. They haven't found the 14-year-old boy. It's a 17. He's 17 years old, and he killed a 14-year-old brother, and he stabbed his father in the neck.
This is crazy. This is crazy.
And they live in Key West. They live on Key West in a very rich neighborhood.
This is crazy. Well, let me get to this comment. We got about 6 minutes before we close tonight's broadcast. This mail right here, Ms. Augustine, I'm going to ask if we'll be brief. I know that's hard for me to do even. The mail, he writes in, he says, you really can't put a value on a mother's love. For some reason, mothers make all the difference in your life in a good way. Ms. Augustine, what do you think about that?
We try to make the difference in our children's life, but when our children go out in the world and they're among other people, sometimes they change. But then all we can do is pray for them. Sometimes they come back to what and show us love, and sometimes they don't. But all we can do for our children is pray. We can teach them, but we have to let them fly.
Okay. All right. I agree with that. Teach them and let them fly. Chrissy, this comment comes in and says, when someone talks about our mother, we want to fight. When they talk about the dad, it's like you don't even care. Why is that, Chrissy? This male right there.
Wait a minute. When someone talks about our mother and what?
They say, when they talk about your mama, you want to fight. But when they talk about your dad, you act like you don't even care. Why is that, Chrissy?
Well, like I said before, it's nothing like a mother's love. I think mothers are more nurturing, and there are some fathers, too, that are just as strong as nurturing their children as a mother. But, again, there's a bond because the mother is the one that had that child. So, and as the world knows, look at people celebrate Mother's Day. It speaks for itself. They don't go all out the way for Father's Day like that. Why is that?
I know. I think that mothers make the big difference. I think you said it right earlier. Jack, would you have found yourself growing up as a kid that you would fight for your – I mean, I wouldn't fight if somebody talks about my dad. Would you find yourself fighting if somebody talks about your dad, or was it more lean towards your mom?
Well, you got to look at the situation here now, because it's still family. Whatever goes on within your home is supposed to stay within the home. So, you know, you got to have respect for your mom and for your dad. So, of course, everybody would fight for their mother. But I wouldn't let anybody just say something negative about my dad either, because they don't know him, even though he may be the worst person on the planet. That's my dad. That's still my dad.
Right.
You know, and I still love my dad.
You can say that, but nobody else can say that.
There you go.
Wow, that's interesting. And I kind of grew up thinking that, I don't know, maybe I just didn't care for my dad as much as others, but I just, my mom, that was my world, and I don't know, I wouldn't be offended when they, I don't know, maybe I'm just a little different. Ms. Claus, you going to fight over your dad?
Yeah, I wouldn't fight over him, but I am somewhat of a daddy's girl. I don't let nobody deal with my mom any kind of way, because I've gone to battle for my mom. I love my mom. My dad is a super tough man, so in a sense, he could defend himself. But it's funny, because if my mom, you know, even in an adulthood and everything, if she says anything, she says, oh, let me be careful, because I know Mila's here. My dad, you wait, mom. And she'd be like, well, mommy, maybe he said it. Come on.
Okay. All right.
Lord. She's probably all right.
We're almost at the end. Let me see. Ms. Augustine, let me bring you in for this comment. This woman, she says, I think I covered everybody. Chrissy, I gave you one, Jack. This woman, she says, I didn't understand when I was growing up the value of a mother's love. Now that I am a mother of three children, I wish I could have a do-over with my mother, because I gave her a really hard time, and now it has come back to haunt me tenfold. Wish I could tell her how sorry I am, but she passed away several years ago, and I have to live with that guilt. Ms. Augustine, what do you think about that? Now she's got to live with that. She gave her mother a hard time, and now it's coming back to her tenfold. Goody for her. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it like
no,
that.
No, that's very difficult, you know, because there's no love like a mother's love, and you know, my mother wasn't there for me. She was an institution most of my life. So when I was able to take care of my mother, I started taking care of my mother when I was 15, 16 years old. So my mother was my life until she died. So I would never know. I don't understand how anybody can hurt their mother. And I have a son, my youngest son, who has hurt me. And I know one day God gonna let him realize how blessed he is to have me as a mother. But when he needs me, I'm there. But I have another son who here who know who he really is, so he blocks me from helping as much as I would like to, which I should not. I should not, but it's difficult, you know, like I'm taking food for him for this virus. But it's very difficult as a mother to say no. It's hard. It's hard. It's very hard.
Right. Okay.
It's very hard.
We're just about out of time. We're about a minute away. Let me go and pick up one more phone line. Let's go to 985-956-6707. Who do we have with us and welcome? Okay, we're out of time with that caller. So listen, just a final word from all of you all, and Christy, we'll start with you. You know, what is the value of a mother's love? And we've already said tonight there is no value that you can place on it. But if you wanted to give a message to everybody out there tonight, what would you want to leave them with, a 10-second thought or one-word thought?
Mother's Day is Sunday. Give your mother her flowers while she can still see them. That's my thought.
All right. Okay.
Mother's Day is every day.
Thank you. That's right.
All right, Ms. Augustine. So that was yours, Ms. Augustine. Jack, let's bring you in your thought for Mother's Day, Mother's Love.
Treasure your mothers while you have them, because when they're gone, it's too late.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
yes.
That's powerful. And I just want to say, and Ms. Cross will give you the final word, I just want to say that I agree with all you all have said. A mother, there is no love like the love of a mother. Ms. Cross, give us a final word.
Well, this was a great show, and happy Mother's Day to you all out there. I just want to say yes. While you have your mother, mothers can never get enough hugs and kisses. It's just a different feeling when you get those hugs and kisses from the kids. So we like yes too, but but sometimes just that phone call, that genuine love, is on a whole nother level. So just if you haven't talked to mom in a while, give her a call. Send her the gift. Give her that hug and that kiss.
Take mom for a walk. Take my little walk right now.
Amen. On that note, we're out of time. I want to thank you all for joining us this evening. Those of you all we weren't able to get to, please join us back here early next Thursday. Please join us here tomorrow night for your half-hour inspiration program, when the topic will be only 30 minutes, and the topic's going to be, has God left man? Has God left man alone? And this is part two. You don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. Has God left man alone? Part two. We had a very exciting show last Thursday, and it's only a half hour from 7 to 7:30. Join us here tomorrow night, or, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's programming, join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Until next Thursday or until next Friday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
No charge.
Good night.